1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Democratic National Convention. I'm Daria Albinger. The final night of the convention will end with Vice President Kamala Harris formally accepting her party's nomination for president. ABC's Mary Bruce with a preview.
Kamala Harris spent the day reviewing and tweaking these remarks by hand, and that this is deeply personal for her. She is going to share her American story as the daughter of immigrants. She will talk about her days as a prosecutor as she now prepares to prosecute the case against Donald Trump, and she will outline her vision of hope and optimism for the future based on what's being described as a deep sense of patriotism.
Emotions are running high, but California Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs says enthusiasm won't be enough to win the election.
I'm always concerned about that. I worked on the 2016 presidential campaign. I was one of Hillary Clinton's foreign policy advisors, and so obviously I have a lot of scarring from that.
She says tomorrow the real work is going to start. This is ABC News. There's a new world's oldest person.
The death of 117-year-old Maria Brañas in Spain led to a search by Gerontology Research Group, which validates age details of those 110 years old and older. They have found that Japan's Tomiki Itoka is now the oldest person on Earth at age 116. She lives in a nursing home in southeastern Japan, where they held a birthday party for her last month. Tomiki enjoys a yogurt drink in the mornings and loves to eat bananas. When she was told she's now the oldest person in the world, her response was, "Thank you." Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The family of a Michigan teenager is suing a Detroit judge after he ordered her handcuffed when she fell asleep during a field trip. Attorneys for 15-year-old Eva Goodman accused Judge Kenneth King of humiliation, false arrest, and unlawful detention. He's been taken off the bench to receive training. Eva's mother says her daughter was likely tired because their family does not have a permanent home. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Classic, cozy, cool. It's the theme for this year's Oshkosh Jazz Festival and describes the music you hear by jazz guitar great John Pizzarelli. Aaron Bain, the main organizer, says he's also planning a surprise.
He's going to start the first half of his headlining set. The Water City Jazz Orchestra from the Fox Valley is going to be joining him for the second half of the set. Pizzarelli literally meets the Oshkosh musicians playing together.
The fest is just 4 years old, but already popular.
It's really, really fun to look out on the audience and then the hometown and see everybody going, "Oh, okay, I get jazz. This is cool."
The Oshkosh Jazz Fest is happening on Main Street starting after 1 this Saturday afternoon, August 24th. It's free and open to all. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University of Wisconsin Regents have approved mass layoffs at UW-Milwaukee. Nearly three dozen employees will lose their jobs on campus. During a meeting Thursday, Regents said they were put in this position because the UW system doesn't have enough funding from the state. Often tenured professors are safe from layoffs like this, but state law ended tenure protections in 2015. The employees work in the College of General Studies, which will close next summer. UW-Milwaukee Chancellor Mark Mohn said cutting these positions is necessary, even though the Faculty Senate voted against it. And the FDA has signed off on new COVID-19 boosters. Spread of the virus is at its highest summer peak since 2022. The new boosters from Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech will roll out soon. The CDC recommends everyone over age 5 get a COVID booster and a flu shot. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose in St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a scoreless game until the seventh when the Cardinals scored three runs. That's all they needed. The Cardinals shut out the Brewers today, 3-0. Right-hander Miles Michaelis held Milwaukee to just a pair of hits through six. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You know, I've known Miles. I coached Miles in 2013 in Tucson. Yeah, I know a lot about him, and I know his ability to pitch. He went overseas and with the Texas Rangers, really learned how to pitch, and then all of a sudden really learned some things. And and got a big contract. He's been a great pitcher, and he's very capable of that, and he dominated us today.
It's the first series loss for the Brewers against the Cardinals since May of last year. NFL joint practice today in Green Bay for the Packers and Ravens. Rashawn Gary on facing quarterback Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense.
It felt great out there. It felt good flying around. It felt good going to another team, especially a team in that caliber. That's a good team in the AFC. So today we started fast, and it felt good playing.
That's Packers linebacker Rashawn Gary with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a shower and a low in the upper 50s. Maybe an early storm tomorrow morning, otherwise mix of sun and clouds and a high in the upper 70s. Mostly sunny, warm and humid for the weekend, highs mid-80s to 90. Right now it's 73.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Friday to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll do a recap of the DNC in Chicago, Illinois. It was quite a party. Tune in Friday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
This is a Civic Media News special report. Continuing live coverage from the DNC in Chicago, we now join WCPT and Mike Crute.
Center DNC Day 4, we are the Devil's Advocates. I'm Mike Crute, that's my partner Dominic Salvia. And we are joined right here at the table right now at the WCPT booth by our good friend and colleague in broadcast. She is Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show, playing out on the Civic Media Network across the great state of Wisconsin. And for sake of setting the resume properly, former Milwaukee County Corporation Council. I like saying that. Maggie, you are a big shot.
Hey, Maggie.
Welcome to our little show.
Certainly in my own mind. Michael, it's good to be here with you all. Happy last day of the DNC.
Yes,
I am very happy. Although, you know, the party goes on forever. I feel like we are in the midst of like a soon-to-be 75-day party.
I kind of am catching that vibe, too. It's like each night is bigger, more exuberant, more exciting than the night before. It is simply incredible. Tonight, I think, promises to be just as spectacular, if not more so. We just heard a rumor before we came on. I was telling Dominic, there is a slight rumor, total rumor, nothing confirmed, nothing confirmed, that George W. Bush may be the surprise speaker.
Come on.
If that happens, Mike, like, how done is this?
You know, it's quite election. Interesting. I was out here in the atrium, we're immediately adjacent, the bowl, probably about 100 yards, well, less than that, but we're close to the bowl, but we're also close to where they bring the celebrities in. And
yes.
I just saw Gail King coming in, you know, Oprah's best buddy. I saw Stevie Wonder coming in.
I saw the back of his head. I was very
I've
excited.
I got photos.
Awesome.
I waved. He didn't wave back. Anyways.
Terrible.
I tried that joke before. It's still not working.
No, dude.
But my point would be there was also a fully armed with rifles Secret Service team that just came in the last 15 minutes and checked the entry points, made a very clear and deliberate point that they were picking a route.
Yes.
Yeah. No elevators, I was told.
Yeah.
We're not using the elevators, we're using the stairs. Some very high-level VIP, you know, possibly bigger than Oprah,
yes,
is going to be coming through this back door pretty
quick. Possibly
bigger
than
Oprah. Well,
I'm so
glad I'm stuck here with you guys then.
You're welcome, Maggie Dawn.
Well, I would say to your rumor and speculation,
a former president would qualify.
A former president might have like a full entourage, rifle pack and Secret Service detail.
Yep.
There's one right over there.
I know.
They're here for somebody.
How done would this election be if it's George W. Bush? I mean, to get a Republican former president to speak at the Democratic National Convention, I mean, my head would probably actually explode.
I think politically that would be terrific.
Yes.
But the audience here, they want Beyonce, man. They want Queen Bee playing Freedom, bringing Kamala to the stage. That is my speculation, and I'm starting that rumor right now.
First of all, I called that like a week ago, Mike. And second,
you weren't on my show or this show on WCPT. She's Maggie Dawn, our good friend. So if you said it somewhere else, it doesn't matter.
Well, and secondly, I've been using Freedom as my lead in music on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network for like a year now.
Very compelling music.
It is. Queen Bey lays it down. I hope people aren't disappointed if Queen Bey does not show up this afternoon.
I mean, we have
Pink also. I mean, how amazing is that going to be? I wonder if she's going to do like full-scale acrobatics, because that's usually part of her act. I mean, that's going to be pretty wild.
That would be pretty stunning. The Chicks, formerly the Dixie Chicks, they'll be doing the national anthem, I understand. And it was funny, I was watching Fox News preparing for the show today. And Fox News said the Democratic National Convention has gone country. And then they're literally showing
what
video of Stevie Wonder and John Legend from last night. You know, I have nothing against Willie Nelson, but Stevie Wonder playing Higher Ground last night. Oh, wow.
So cool.
Yeah, and that's cool. Great and not country.
It's not.
Patti LaBelle.
The point of even saying that? Right? Like, you've gone. What? No, man, it's a big tent party. It's always been a big tent party. Like, country music fans, welcome. Everybody's welcome. R&B fans, hip hop fans. Like, that is the point. There's a place for everybody in the Democratic Party. Foxy News just sees it through the little limited lens that they've got on the whole entire universe.
Well, they're over there.
Yeah.
They've got limited vantage point.
They really do.
Folks, you are listening to live special event coverage of the DNC here at the United Center, Chicago, Illinois. Our good friend Maggie Dawn, our colleague in broadcast over on Civic Media. You can listen to her 2 to 4 in the afternoons. And we are Dom and Crute, the Devil's Advocates. I'm the important one, Crudy. He's Dom.
Hey, Maggie, I wanted to get this out. It's the first time we've been on the air since we've been together, since we've been down here. And appreciate you always giving us a great lead-in, Maggie. Good to be with you on the radio. The speeches have been really, really, really good. And that Michelle Obama speech, Maggie, I'm not a one to go, like, rewatch things, but I think I'm going to go back and watch that Michelle Obama speech. What'd you think?
Oh, that's one for the ages.
Yeah.
I tweeted during the speech that it was one of like historical proportions, but also not just for the tone and the style and the delivery, but the dead-on accuracy of what she was saying.
Right.
Like, even when she was poking fun, the fun that she was poking was accurate, right? Like, she hit it on the nose again and again and again. For my money, to date, not counting the speeches that haven't yet happened, that Michelle Obama speech, I said yesterday, I don't know if I can pick between her and her former president's speech, but I think Michelle had it.
Oh, I think it's, I mean, Obama had Barack had a fine speech.
Yes.
But he said it when he came out. How do you follow
Michelle?
How do you follow that? That was just amazing.
How do you top Tuesday night in the event at the Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee?
I know, right?
18,000 in Milwaukee, 88 miles to the north.
And then you thousands got, outside, right?
Well, you got 50,000 here, about 20,000 in the bowl, about 30,000 walking around looking to gain entry into the bowl.
Yes.
Donald Trump did a rally in an airplane hangar the other day with like 200. And he's talking about AI crowd sizes.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, that's a little disappointing, isn't it?
You know, do you want to be with the winning team? Or the bunch of, like, old windbag losers that say weird things and believe weird things and want people to all be the same and look the same and dress the same and think the same and pray the same and love the same? That is boring. That is not the Harris-Walls movement. It's not the Harris-Walls ticket. It's not the Democratic Party anymore.
You referenced Michelle Obama's speech. I loved when she said, you know, Trump's running for this job, but he may not realize.
It's one of the black jobs.
It is. And we were here on the air, and I had the microphones turned off, but that was like a boom, drop the mic moment. I was quite loud here in the atrium. People noticed.
You're kidding, Mike. You loud? No.
But, Maggie, here's the point. Donald Trump went on Twitter last night, or Truthy Social.
Yes.
And again, said that immigrants are taking black jobs. He doubled down on it.
Double, triple. I mean, he keeps going. He's not coming off of this mindset. He's Donald Trump. He can't help himself.
And may he please continue.
Yes.
Right? Like, Yep, keep doing it exactly how you're doing it, Donald. People don't want the crud that you're selling anymore. And this moment, the convention has been so clarifying, like making that choice all the more stark. My two favorite lines of the DNC was the black jobs jab.
Excellent.
I mean, that landed absolute perfection. And when she said the affirmative action of generational wealth.
Yes.
I was like, that is what we're talking about. The system privileges the wealthy landed white gentry. It always has. Everybody knows it. And the Supreme Court is completely illegitimate. I hope one of the things I'm looking for tonight, gentlemen, is for Kamala Harris to address the illegitimacy of the Supreme Court. That would be a thing in a nomination acceptance speech. But it's what everybody knows to be true. And so far, the Democrats have been speaking the truth in really common sense language. I wonder if she'll take this opportunity to do that.
Special live extended DNC coverage will be here all night until Kamala Harris is done and the balloons have dropped and every single one has been popped. We'll be on the air right here on WCPT 820 AM. KTNF 950 AM, our friends in Minneapolis listening. And, of course, the Civic Media Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. That's where our pal Maggie Dawn joins us from. She's here at the table with us. What about the Tim Walz moment last night? Coach Walz. And, you know, they handed out the long sticks,
know,
the signs.
Coach on them. So
Coach
great.
Walz. One of the interesting things, though, and we've got one of the signs. Paul, our fine producer this evening,
yeah, Paul,
has got the Coach Walz sign. Last night, Coach Walz, from the stage, acknowledged his family. And I was watching the wife, Gwen Walz, was crying within moments of her husband taking the stage.
Yes.
Tears of joy streaming from her eyes.
Yep.
This is obviously just a family that loves each other. The daughter, Hope, the son, Gus, were up close. And Gus got up and he stood up. And he's got some intellectual challenges, apparently, a diagnosis, maybe on the spectrum. But Gus, with tears, just through this raw emotion, said, "That's my dad." And Coach Walz had said, "You know, the most important things in my life are Gwen, Hope, and Gus." I mean, what a wonderful moment. But there are many on the right that have pointed at this moment is a sign of weakness, attacked a 17-year-old kid on the spectrum. It's really been some despicable reaction from Ann Coulter. And in the state of Wisconsin, one of the most powerful right-wing radio hosts did a little social media magic last night, called him, what was it, Dom?
Well, the actual quote from Jay Weber from WISN in Milwaukee, the largest conservative stick in the audience in the state, they pulled a 13 share last month. And this is apparently one of the stars, and this is what he put on the Twitter last night. "Sorry, but this is embarrassing for both father and son. If the Walzes represent today's American man, this country is screwed." Then he puts in parentheticals, "Meet my son, Gus. He's a blubbering bitch boy. His mother and I are very proud." Unquote.
Ann Coulter, I think, just used one word, weird, I think she described Gus. And, you know, talking about childless cat ladies, Ann Coulter has got a litany of former fiancés, it was pointed out on the social media satire sites. But I cannot believe, and I mean, it's one thing to say Coach Walz came off as insincere, attack his military record, whatever the right's got, throw your best. But why go after his 17-year-old son?
Yeah, what's weird is that their depravity knows no bottom. You have shown yourself. We have known all along, but that those statements and that perspective of the universe is so dark and terrible. We all know people that may be neurologically diverse, right? We all know someone who's gay. This is what's wrong with the MAGA cult, is that is the behavior that these people are engaging in because they get rewarded for it. When is being
clicks
cruel,
and cash?
Yes. When did it become the conservative party's mantle to be the cruelest ones in the room every time that you miss no opportunity to rub somebody's face into the ground?
It started
it is so grotesque.
It started the day Donald Trump took the debate stage and started going after his Republican opponents, and the discourse has been devolving since. And I guess here's another question for you, Dom and Maggie. You're listening to special DNC coverage. We're live at the United Center. We're going to start dipping into the bowl here soon. We'll take you when all the most important speeches come, whether it's Beyonce playing Freedom or George W. Bush. Speculation at the table is it's one of those two, but they're promising somebody bigger than Oprah, and I don't know who's bigger than Oprah.
The Pope.
Do you think the Dems could pull the Pope? I mean, that would be a hell of a land.
If there was to be a Pope that the Dems could pull, it would be Pope Francis. It'd be this Pope.
It might be. Overall, how do you compare? And we were at the RNC together. We provided coverage together. We all camped out in Milwaukee, your hometown, Dom's hometown. The party came to us, party in air quotes, because it didn't feel like a party. And they claimed so much unity that week. Oh, we the Republicans were so unified. How many former presidents spoke on behalf of Donald Trump at the convention?
Well, wait, let me get my notes out, Mike, here. I'm going to have to consult. There were so many. Oh, wait, no. There were zero, none, zippo, zero, zilch. Not a single freaking former Republican president wanted to degrade their legacy with the smut and hate that is the MAGA cult of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance.
Follow-up question. How many former vice presidents spoke at the RNC?
Wait, Dom, let me consult my notes. There were so many. No!
No,
none!
No,
suppose
no.
Zilch, no.
Hang Mike Pence didn't even come to the party.
He was doing his hair, I heard. Does have nice hair. Some of us notice those things. She's Maggie Dawn. She's our good friend and colleague in broadcast. She's the former Milwaukee County Corporation Counsel and very intimately involved on the correct side of history. She was the wall that helped stop the Trump recount in the state of Wisconsin, or more accurately, make sure that it actually efficiently happened so the votes could be counted and the deadlines could be met. And, of course, it was Trump's team's effort to not do that. Maggie, I know that some of the people listening tonight may not know your story and the story of what happened in 2020. And, of course, if Harris wins, Trump's going to do it again.
Yes.
So let's talk about what happened in the state of Wisconsin for a minute in 2020. Tell the story. I can give you 3 minutes, Maggie Dawn.
Sure. So Trump was within the margin by which a campaign can, by a right, request a recount. Trump did so only in two of these 72 counties in the state of Wisconsin. Apparently, they didn't need to count the counties where Trump won. It's
really weird. Huh.
But he wanted to have a recount in both Milwaukee and Dane County. I, at the time, was the chief legal officer and the advisor to the Milwaukee County Elections Commission. So the recount, and by the way, this is in the depths of COVID. So we're in the Wisconsin Center. You've got to do all the physical distancing. We had video cameras up everywhere, but the nut of the thing that happened, Mike, to answer your question, is that every single election recount observer from the Trump campaign was instructed to object to every single ballot.
And how many ballots are we talking
about?
Over 100,000.
Yeah, easily. I mean, if not more than that in 2020, having been cast, because it was coming in. Like, we're central count for every jurisdiction within Milwaukee County except for the city of Milwaukee. But every ballot. So, in a nutshell, the challenge became, how are we going to provide the correct due process as to each of these challenges and still get all of these ballots counted in time to make the deadline? It became very clear that the Trump campaign's strategic goal here had nothing to do with the merits of their objections, but it had everything to do with, like they've done with gerrymandering, like they've done with the unnecessary, completely stupid voter ID laws, right? They were cheating, right? And their idea was, if we can slow this down, then the votes won't be counted
in time. They were sandbagging it.
And if they're not counted in time, then we can argue for the alternate slate of fake fraudulent electors. We know this because they put it in writing. It was all over it, including none other than Bob Spindell, who is still on the Elections Commission. I mean,
one of Wisconsin's fake electors.
Correct. He's a criminal. He has committed what is, could be called treasonous by some measure. But what we had to come up with was a way to process this. So basically, I advised the Election Commission to ask the campaign for the entirety of every possible objection that they could have to any ballot. We did 24 hours of briefing. We then allowed the Biden campaign to respond in brief. And then the Election Commission considered all of those objections, ruled on each and every one of them, created a robust record. And then basically it was like, well, which number from the menu is your objection to this ballot?
Right.
Oh, I'll take items number 1, 4, and 10. Okay, duly noted. And we actually were able to group the ballots by the objections, the ones that we thought needed to be preserved and set aside, by objection number, in effect. We did so that if a court later ruled, and this was critical, if a court, which they never did, later ruled that a set of ballots should not be counted, we already had them segregated. You can see the importance of that, right? Because if you had to go through and look at all of the ballots again to find the subset, it becomes less and less likely that you make the deadline. Long story short, every ruling of the Election Commission was upheld ultimately, and the net result of the Milwaukee County recount, which we finished with time to spare days ahead of schedule, was that Biden went up by something like 1,200 votes, okay? And by the way, this is, I basically called up my contemporary in Dane County and said, this is how you should do this. And that's basically how the recount got done.
Maggie Dawn, for accuracy's sake, Biden gained 257 votes, Trump added 125, and there were 460,000 ballots at question in Milwaukee County.
All right, so
you're my hero. I've told you that many times.
Thank you, Mike.
For that specific story, because think about how that could have changed the next election, the 2020 election, if the state of Wisconsin's vote count had not been validated in a timely fashion. We had fake electors at the ready. And we here in Wisconsin, we are Wisconsinites, broadcasting here in Chicago at the United Center. But we saw this up close and personal. Of course, the state of Wisconsin only decided by about 21,000 votes when Trump won, about 22,000 votes when Biden won. Oh. And it's going to be a coin flip again this year. Even with all this enthusiasm for Harris, when I go to rural Wisconsin, which I did last weekend,
yep,
thousands of Trump signs. I mean, you get outside the cities, and it is a different world out there in rural Wisconsin. So,
although I will say to you, I was in Brown County not too long ago.
That's the Green Bay area of Wisconsin.
And north of that, like up through. Anyways, yes, I was seeing, there were a handful.
You know, there's never been a person from Chicago that's returned from Green Bay happy because we always beat their ass. No offense, Bears fans.
No, well, we could go down that road for quite some time. But there were handfuls of Biden-Harris signs still when I was, yes, up there, because it was still around that time. And I saw a more than a handful of Tammy Baldwin signs. I think, again, the call to anybody that's listening that lives in a rural part of the state and everybody around you seems to be a Trumpykin. Trust me, there are more of you around that want normalcy, that want decency, that want actual family values, where we support masculinity that demonstrates love of your children, that is indeed a masculine trait that shows genuine true emotion when you're reminded about how much you love your family, that even if you have a conservative set of principles most of the time about most of the issues, it's okay to vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, because this is about far more than public policy differences. This is about first principles and the basic values that we say we cherish. Now is the time to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk with your vote.
Oprah said it, character and values, they matter.
These things matter.
They matter more than everything else. If you don't have the character, you don't have the values, whatever you say your policy is, well, good luck, because there's no guarantee that you're going to follow it. You know what I'm saying? Your word matters. Your actions matter, and it's just such a sea change from what we're seeing on the mega side versus what we're hearing coming out of the mouths of these very talented politicians here in Chicago.
Folks, that's Dominic Salvia. That's our friend, attorney Maggie Dawn. She's our colleague in broadcast, my hero for her actions in the Wisconsin recount effort. I'm Crudy. I'm just here to moderate this fine conversation and take you to all the important speeches right here at the DNC and the United Center, Chicago. You're listening right now. We'll take the speeches, but first we're going to take a brief break right here on WCPT 820 AM.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Democratic National Convention. I'm Daria Albinger. The final night of the convention will end with Vice President Kamala Harris formally accepting her party's nomination for president. ABC's Mary Bruce with the preview.
Kamala Harris spent the day reviewing and tweaking these remarks by hand, and that this is deeply personal for her. She is going to share her American story as the daughter of immigrants. She will talk about her days as a prosecutor as she now prepares to prosecute the case against Donald Trump, and she will outline her vision of hope and optimism for the future based on what's being described as a deep sense of patriotism.
Emotions are running high, but California Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs says enthusiasm won't be enough to win the election.
I'm always concerned about that. I worked on the 2016 presidential campaign. I was one of Hillary Clinton's foreign policy advisors, and so obviously I have a lot of scarring from that.
She says tomorrow the real work is going to start. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The four hotel workers arrested in the death of Devontae Mitchell have pleaded not guilty. Prosecutors allege they pinned Mitchell to the ground in June. He later died. The defendants include two security workers, a front desk employee, and a bellhop. They're charged with felony murder. They each face up to almost 16 years in prison if convicted. All four defendants are expected back in court October 15th. And a Wisconsin company scored a huge new military contract. Here's Lisa Hale.
Oshkosh Defense has awarded a $1.54 billion five-year contract to build new and refurbished heavy tactical vehicles and trailers for the U.S. Army. Oshkosh Defense has produced over 71,000 heavy tactical vehicles for the United States and other nations. The Army can start buying vehicles from Oshkosh Defense on the contract this month.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, if you've already spent 3 hours in the theater watching the first installment of Kevin Costner's Horizon American Saga Chapter 1, hoping to see the next 3 hours, Horizon an American Saga Chapter 2, in theaters, you can't, because it was pulled due to low interest. The title doesn't help. But fear not, Costner fans. Chapter 2 premieres on Max Friday, August 23rd. Fearless comedian Eric Andre says he was racially profiled at the Melbourne airport in Australia. The star of his own show, The Eric Andre Show, in the film Bad Trip, was in Australia for a gig when he says he was pulled out of the security line to be sniffed by the dogs. He said this is not the first time it's happened and currently has a lawsuit pending against the airport in Atlanta for the same type of treatment. Those of you who are fans, I know what you're thinking, but Andre was fully clothed when the incident happened. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a shower and a low in the upper 50s. Maybe an early storm tomorrow morning, otherwise mix of sun and clouds and a high in the upper 70s. Mostly sunny, warm and humid for the weekend, highs mid-80s to 90. Right now it's 73.
Fabulous Farm Bay PM Yankee here with the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings right here on WGBW. It's about your food and where it comes from. Tune in and learn. 5 a.m., 1590 a.m., 97.9 FM, the talk of Green Bay.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Do you have a home you'd like to rent out but don't know where to start? Consider Simple Life Rentals, a property management company partnered with booking sites like Airbnb and Expedia, amplifying your home's exposure to the marketplace. Simple Life Rentals screens guests and creates an owner portal with analytics, rental agreements, and legal guidelines. We give you complete visibility into how your manager's doing, ensuring your property is well-maintained and maximizing your return on investment. Get peace of mind. Simple Life Rentals, Cincinnatiradio.com.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. The DNC is over, and I'm taking a breather. Don't worry, I got you covered. Special guest host Matt Rothschild is up next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Continuing coverage from the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. Now, your host, Mike Crute.
Kamala Harris is never given a headlining convention speech. She's never had this opportunity. Now, I think she's done just fine at all the big rallies. It's not like she hasn't spoken to a big room of late. She was speaking to 18,000 at the Fiserv Forum on Tuesday. But here's my question. Biggest political speech of her life. What does rising to that occasion look like as far as you're concerned, Maggie?
It's what she's been training for her whole life. I mean, she's a trial lawyer, right? Like, that was her very first job. And to do that work, you have to be someone that likes to be on point. You want to be in the spotlight. You want to command the attention. You want to tell a story. That's what trial work is. It is telling a compelling story that connects with people's common sense. That's basically her job tonight, right? And she's been doing it since the very first job she had out of law school, being a politician in California, right? Winning an AG's race there, winning a Senate seat in California. That is the fine art, the high art of politics. So she's completely ready. I mean, she's shredded Bill Barr, Brett Kavanaugh, and Jeff Sessions when she was a senator on the Judiciary Committee. I mean, as if it wasn't all that difficult to do with some really pointed follow-up questions. I think she's ready for this moment. I think you're going to see a woman on fire tonight.
Kamala Harris, supremely qualified, in my opinion. And you hear the criticisms from the MAGAs, specifically Trump, dumb, stupid, you know, had everything handed to her, this kind of thing. I'm thinking to myself,
stop talking about your man.
This is what I'm thinking. Do you know who your candidate is? I mean, California is the largest state in the union, right? It's the fifth largest economy in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and she won there. I mean, she became a senator from there. She became the vice president. What did Donald Trump do besides what? Fail upwards with the affirmative action of generational wealth.
Dom, you've heard me say this line. This is a Maggieism that goes back years. I have been saying, and I'm like, there's so many times where little Maggie-isms, I've heard at this convention, I'm like, they're listening, finally. But I've been griping about middle-aged, mediocre white dudes failing up for a long time, and Donald Trump is the poster boy of that concept. Everything you touch turns to crap, Donald.
Everything dies.
Sort of a reverse Midas touch.
Exactly.
Everything and everyone that works for him eventually will be betrayed.
Under
fired,
the Trump bus.
Yes, sooner or later. He comes for everyone. And it's not just for, you know, his inner circle or his business partners or his employees. We saw what he did to this country. And the divide that he fostered in this country. Maggie, obviously the motivation here, the energy is high. Do you think the Dems, can keep it up for 75 days at this level? I mean, sprinting like this?
Sleep when you're dead!
Sleep when you're dead. That's what Coach Tim said. I mean, for real, it's one door knock at a time, one phone call at a time, one conversation at a time. That's what we need to do. I think people are so ready. And when you finally can see that not only can we win, but maybe we can destroy this rot, this worst of us approach to the world, right? I think people want to win, and they want to win big. They feel like this is the moment. Let's turn a collective page.
Dude, listen, we broke up with you.
I know. Like, why do you keep, like, slipping into our DMs? It's terrible. I think this is really I have never been in a political moment like this in my entire life, and that includes the hysterical joy I felt when Barack Obama was elected president, right? Like, this is an order of magnitude up. And part of that is because the other, on the other side, it's so dark and dismal and regressive. People don't want that. I mean, think about what just happened in France, right? Think about what just happened in UK. Candidates that they did not expect to win won and won big, and they were the candidates of common sense, of decency, and of integrity. Like, something's going on here.
Maggie Dawn, do you think it's possible that the Trump act's getting a little worn? It's a little long in the tooth. It's like he's old and boring at this point.
Yeah, he is so tired. He needs to be, like, put out. Put out. You are done. The spiels are annoying. I mean, I remember watching the Trump acceptance speech, right? This is supposed to be, like, his big moment. This is when they thought they had it all sewn up, right? And the camera panning during that speech, half of the people in that room were like, I want to be anywhere but here. Why won't he stop? You could see it on their faces. Of course, there were those that had drank the Jamestown Kool-Aid, right? Or the Jonestown Kool-Aid. But
mostly they were the ones wearing the Kotex on their ears.
The maxi pads, yes. But, like, it was very clear that even amongst conservatives, some of that shtick isn't hitting anymore. It's not novel. Like, we've been hearing this crap for 8 years now.
Well, and we wonder, we talked about this conservative right-wing talk radio host in Milwaukee denigrating the son of Governor Walz.
I mean, the whole lot of them, right?
But the permission has been granted by a guy like Donald Trump.
Ugliness.
Absolutely. And the uglier, the better. The more shocking, the better. But the shtick, it's absolutely getting old. And not only is it getting old, I think it's also becoming less and less effective.
I mean,
it's less effective to motivate their base. It's less effective on actually hitting the mark on who he's trying to bring down. It's just getting old, man. It's like an old band playing the old songs over and over and over again. And it's the jerky boys of politics.
Yeah, Trump is like the hackneyed, terrible version of Triumph the Insult comic dog, except unfunny.
Except Triumph's
and it's not a joke, right? Like, yeah, Triumph's really funny. He's just dangerous. I thought, you know, Oprah said that. I think it was Oprah yesterday, said something very close to that. Like, this is bad, and it would be bad all on its own. But the danger that's posed because of that, and what these plans are, because of that dangerousness, I mean, this is an outright assault, not just on democratic institutions, but any semblance of shared power, right? Fundamentally, that's what Project 2025 is about. That this will not be three co-equal branches of government. This will be an executive branch that dominates all facets of government and personal lives. And the agenda of that all-encompassing dominant executive branch of government will be to superimpose a Judeo-Christian nationalist natural law order on every single person in this country, no matter who you are, what you believe, or who you love. It is telling people how to live their lives while you pick their pocket to pay for billionaire tax cuts and tax cuts for the most profitable, largest American corporations on the backs of the middle class and historically oppressed groups. Shame. That isn't conservative. It's criminal and evil.
Maggie Dawn, our fine guest here at the table. I'm Mike Crute. That's Dominic Salvia. We are the Devil's Advocates. Maggie Dawn's got her own fine show on the Civic Media Network, 2 to 4. Look her up. She's worth a listen. At the RNC a month ago in Milwaukee, they literally brought out signs that said mass deportation. That's what the printer and the party were handing out to the attendees, the delegates in the room. That's a little different message. There's a couple on stage right now. They got a little tiny baby on the stage with them, little pink bow on her head. This is a much more, let's say, family-friendly event than what the Republicans had going on in Milwaukee.
I keep describing to people, it's like one part sort of like church revival, afternoon picnic thing, family reunion, like rock concert. It's all of that stuff rolled into one. Everybody's walking around smiling. Someone today said to me, Maggie, have you noticed even all of the security personnel seem to be like friendlier than they were at the RNC? Yeah, they have been. And that's because people are happy to be here and they want more people to be here together with us, right? Like that's kind of, that, when your message is one of inclusion and respect and that I'm going to extend you the rights of a full and co-equal human being and I'm going to treat you with dignity and that's your brand, yeah, there's a wee bit of a difference.
Yeah, but how do I make money on that brand?
Yeah.
You know, let me tell a
how
story.
How do I monetize that?
This very of very little political importance, but we met the facility manager here, the general manager,
cool.
A lady named Jennifer. And she was walking through and she was pumping up her staff here at the United Center. How's it going? How's your day? How you doing? And I'm thinking, wow, what a positive, you know, that'd be great if the boss came and checked on me. And so I teased her. And I said, we've had a really great experience here.
Yeah.
Except for we've got this little radio shift and your concession stands are literally closed right up until we're on the air and we can't even go get a beverage.
Mm-hmm.
We can't eat lunch. Jennifer brought us a couple of turkey sandwiches. Just
of
said, here, boys. Here, boys. And I'm thinking to myself, what a different experience, because no offense to our friends in Milwaukee and those that run the facilities there. But nobody seemed very happy to see me in Milwaukee. Maybe it's because they were being disrespected by the conventioneers that came to town. And the costumes, and there's certainly some flamboyant costumes here, a lot of blue-themed, where, I mean, people are wearing their Sunday best some. Others are wearing these truly unique outfits. But it's nothing like the cult-like worship. I mean, everybody at the Trump convention was wearing Trump gear and Trump sneakers, and I mean, it's like if you don't have a Trump tramp stamp, you didn't really fit in at that cult.
Yeah, I have a hard time. It's difficult to talk about people in purely sort of the way that they show their physical appearance, but I can say this. Yeah, I think a more diverse spectrum of people here, different backgrounds, but people basically are in their Sunday best or expressing their political viewpoints in a bunch of unique ways. Like, people look very fashionable, but it's unique, and it speaks to, it's an interesting sort of panoply of coolness, right? It reminds me of when I used to live in New York City. I loved just watching the people roll by because I was like, it is a fashion show, it is pop culture, it was all these things, right? When I think of the environment that I observed at the RNC, it was like everybody came out of the same manufacturing plant and were built to the same
Brooks
exact
Brothers.
Specs.
Brooks Brothers.
Like, that
ill-fitting
is boring.
Blue suits, although I'm wearing a nicely fitting blue suit.
You sure are, Mike. You look very handsome.
Thank you. I do it once a year. She's Maggie Dawn. He's Dominic Salvi. I'm Mike Crute. We're live at the United Center. The event, the DNC, and the real meat of the program starts at 8 o'clock. The former Dixie Chicks, now called the Chicks, are going to do a national anthem in the 8 o'clock hour, and that's when the big names are going to start. We'll dip in at that time. But let's talk about what's been happening outside the green zone, as I like to call it, the secured zone, the protest. And there were clearly some apprehension and some fears that these protests would wreck what was happening inside this convention and would be a distraction, would remind the people of 1968 and the bad outcomes for the Democratic Party then. The protests have been sparse. There has not been a lot of protesters. One lady with a blowhorn out there speaking pro-Palestinian. There's one Nazi out there doing her Hitler signs. And there are some agitators. But, I mean, we're talking maybe dozens. I know there was an effort to knock down some fencing or gain entry closer to the facility. That's the worst I've heard.
It's
in the entire city of Chicago for the week, although I know there's still crime happening and stuff in life.
It's basically been more or less a very low impact sort of protest. That's what I would say. And I do think part of that is, though, as I understand it, the protesters, for the most part, are demanding that the United States basically cease all support for Israel, which we could do a whole show on whether or not that is actually something that could happen in a very real foreign policy sense. I'm not an expert on those matters, but it is complex. But that aside from that particular goal, again, the practicalities of which I think very, very smart people could have a robust discussion about, the other thing that they're demanding is to be heard. And they're saying that every human being has dignity, and we should be working to ensure that there are zero civilian deaths or zero additional civilian deaths in Gaza. And we have to be objective about these things. And that the response to that from at least anyone and everyone I've talked to in this convention is, we totally agree with you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's a little hard to want to continue to scream in someone's face when they're like,
yes.
No, like, we literally have agreement on 95%, and we have to work this part out, and that's really, really hard. But we want to have that conversation with you, and we want to continue to talk about this. And no children should be dying, and no civilians should be dying, and collective punishment is, in fact, a war. Like, yep, we can have all of these complicated, difficult discussions, and we can condemn what happened on October 7th, right? Like, we can do all those things,
exactly.
Yes. And this is the only party where you can have all those conversations.
You know,
that's it, the only candidate.
It's interesting. There's a drumline playing right now at the United Center center stage. But look at what they've got going on with the American flags.
Yes.
Now, the Democratic Party is retaking patriotism in the American flags. Everybody in the audience, the delegates are all waving hundreds, thousands
of flags. I'm so jealous. I want to be in there. I mean, like, I love me a drumline. I went to Milwaukee Public Schools drumline contest this year because it was in my old high school, Rufus King High School for the College Bound on 19th and Capitol. Go Generals. And it was so cool because it was all of these high schools, some rivalries, watching it. A drumline, you want to get a crowd going, a drumline will do it, friends.
And it looks like it's doing it. Maggie, back to the foreign policy issue. The Republicans and Trump specifically.
And they got a guy playing upside down drums right now. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, let's listen to some.
This is talent. Understand the drummer is currently being suspended upside down. And they've wrapped up.
Isn't that Lil Jon?
They're transitioning now. We'll soon transition to the speeches in the room.
Republicans, take note. That's a
party. How you do it. That's how you do it. You know, Kid Rock performed at the RNC, and the cameras very rarely left the close-up of Kid Rock because no one was dancing, no one knew the tunes.
And
no
the
one...
people that were, everybody's like, please do not show them dancing.
It was all Kid Rock all the time. Foreign policy, you're talking about Gaza, but obviously there's lots going on in the world, right? Donald Trump claims that, you know, he is the one respected by the foreign leaders. He is the one that made America strong. He is the one that makes America powerful, and that
quit talking about Joe Biden that way.
Kamala is a lightweight, and that these guys will run over her. And I'm thinking to myself, again, wasn't she involved in getting these hostages released, these prisoners released out of Russia, this big multi-country deal? I mean, it's like opposite world.
It is. They're projecting all the time,
all
right?
The time.
Like, this is what's going on. Anyone who says that with a straight face, that like Donald Trump is respected amongst world leaders and Kamala Harris isn't? What? Are you, come on. I mean, like, are you for real with that? Like, that can't actually be your opinion. I mean, and to the people, I know in your heart you don't believe that. And so think to yourself, what a dangerous man he is when he enters those rooms with foreign leaders with that amount of pride and hubris. he's getting owned by these leaders. Like, do you want the United States owned international negotiations?
When he talks about his strength, who does he refer to? Putin and North Korea.
And Kim Jong-un.
And Orban.
Yeah,
He loves himself a dictator, does he?
He does. Sure does. I mean, again, the projection is, I mean, if he could do it, Xi in China, man, he's rules with a strong hand. Everyone stands up, and boy, I wish I could do that. I mean, he will be a dictator on day one, and it's just, I don't know how, you know, what happened to this Republican Party that embraces this. I mean, what was it, Joe Walsh? We ran into him the other day. You had him on your show. I was talking to him afterwards. I was like, you know, I look forward to having these conversations about tax policy. You know,
that has been my line for months and months. Yes. I cannot wait until I can just argue with my conservative friends about tax policy, not about what the fundamental, like, minimum amount of decency there needs to be for a person to be president. It's ridiculous. He's been civilly convicted of having sexually assaulted a woman. He has bankrupted countless businesses. He has been kicked out of the state of New York. His charity was hundreds of millions of dollars. He's defrauded contractors. He cheats the little guy and sexually assaults women. I'm sorry, you're a Christian,
and tried to overthrow the government.
Correct.
Let's vote this guy in for
shot.
Yeah, well, last two times were great. Let's do it again.
I don't want to talk about that guy right now.
We got a party going on here
at the United Center in Chicago. It's about to get lit. The Dixie Chicks will do the national anthem very soon.
They did just play a little Beyonce Texas Hold'em.
They did.
So, a little bit of a teaser there. Got to share with the folks what's going on.
The main programming coming up in just a bit, but here are a few of the expected speakers tonight to look forward to right here on WCPT, KTNF, and across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, Big Gretch, coming to the stage soon. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, he apparently also a consideration for VP, but not ultimately the choice. Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey, I believe she's already spoken. The Tennessee Three, I think they might be early in the evening. We might have missed them. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin, she took the stage in the 6 o'clock hour. Elizabeth Warren, I saw her yesterday. Today, she spoke to the Wisconsin breakfast delegates. And tonight, she'll speak to the DNC right here. And
she already did. Elizabeth Warren.
She already spoke today?
She already spoke this afternoon. It was very emotional. Very emotional. People raving about Senator Elizabeth Warren's speech. She got a long ovation. It was quite a moment.
Well, I feel sad that I missed that because the speeches are just getting started. And we've already missed a few of the prime time. Senator Mark Kelly expected to speak tonight. And, of course, Kamala Harris. She'll be the culmination of this four-day event. She will speak last, and then they'll bring out second gentleman Doug Imhoff and the families, the Walzes, and then the balloons will drop.
The balloons! And I then love a good balloon.
And then you know it's a party.
And you know, here at the DNC, they will party all night long. You are listening to the Devil's Advocates. Maggie Dawn, we're going to let you sneak off. Have a little bit of enjoyment here at the DNC.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Maggie.
Maggie Dawn, you've been excellent. Thank you for joining us in this hour. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We're going to stick around because we're going to broadcast all of the big speeches tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back to the United Center. And you're going to want to stay all the way to Kamala Harris and beyond.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer is going to recombobulate at 10:33, and we got special guest host Amy Westrup of Comedy Sports joining me all morning. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Cap Time's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.